What time is it?
It's podcast time.
What time is it?
It's podcast time.
What time is it?
Podcast time.
Big one,
yeah,
boys.
Welcome to the Rob Podcast. It was a huge show today, Cody. We had Caitlyn Jenner co-host. She talked OJ, Kanye, trans athletes, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Massive.
You know, normally you get we get big names on the show all the time, and they've from their past they've got interesting takes on certain topics, and you bring it up and they're like, no, I just want to promote my movie or whatever. She was the opposite.
Mm.
She went even further than expected. Loved it. Buckle up, buckaroo. It's
she
a good
did.
Chat.
Now, we also put out a call, and we don't normally do this. We did have We Got One. And this is a segment where if you don't ring up, the segment falls on its head.
It's done.
And Fee asked, have you hired a hitman? And what's going on in Melbourne?
Yeah.
Because the phones were jammed.
Yeah, I thought it was people guessing the secret sound.
And if you listen in,
maybe
we have
a
caller where
a
mum hired a hitman to kill the dad, and I think he's brown bread. So it's going to be interesting. But something I was going to bring up, but we ran out of time because obviously we had Caitlin on the show is, I don't know if you saw, I was in Torquay on the weekend, and there was a guy with that may have stabbed a person and then ran in and tried assaulted three other people in the middle of Torquay.
Really?
Yeah. Wielding a knife. Now, I was in Torquay and he ran over to the Woolworths that I was in that morning shopping. I almost got stabbed.
Well.
Well, mate, if I had it, I don't even know if it was that same time. I could have been in there at the same time. And then I was staying on Fisher Street and he ran into the park and dumped his knife in the park that I was literally staying across from. And then I had to lock all the, we got new people, we got like an alert saying something was going on in Torquay and we had to lock all the doors. The kids were shitting themselves. So we locked all the doors until they got, and then they obviously caught him a bit later. Then I went and got coffee in the morning, drove past the park and there was about 1,000 SES in their orange jumpsuits. Yeah. Looked like they'd come from prison.
Yeah.
And they were doing some like gardening.
If there's 1,000 SAS, there's something going on.
Well, there was all cops as well. And they were searching for the knife that got dumped in there. Oh. Man, I thought I was on like a murder mystery.
Yeah.
I wanted to stop and help.
Yeah, head down to Torquay for the weekend. I'm picturing a relax, you know,
mate,
hop in, have a dip
doors
in the ocean.
Locked.
Yeah.
I thought I was in trouble. I couldn't have been here. I might not have been here.
Wow.
Like, I feared for my life, Cody.
Well, I'm glad you made it, mate.
Yeah, I'm here and I pushed through today, like a bit shell-shocked.
Yeah.
But it happened like right in Torquay. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, you could have pulled the card and said, I'm a bit shocked by what happened. I'll see you Thursday.
Yeah.
But you didn't. You're here.
I'm here. I'm a trooper. God.
And we respect you for that.
Hey, listen up, because at any time in this podcast, we'll give you an answer to April 30th. Alpha Bucks. Answer.
Arden Homes create award-winning energy-efficient homes that are not only beautiful, but improve the way you live. And for a limited time, enjoy up to $39,000 in bonus upgrades.
Live from the Fox Studios in South Melbourne. Fifi Box.
We make people feel good.
Brendan Favola.
Fishy, fishy, fishy.
Nick Cody.
Boring.
Our Melbourne's number one breakfast show.
Woo! Popular Melbourne radio host Fifi, Fev and Nick.
Fifi, Fev and Nick.
Fifi, Fev and Nick.
From Melbourne, Australia, Fifi, Fev and Nick.
We are the best city in the world.
Just love Melbourne.
It's the best.
Absolutely love it.
They are the best.
Live in Melbourne every day.
Wake up with Fifi, Fev and Nick.
These are becoming the biggest parties in Melbourne.
We've packed outdoors.
We did schoolies for the very first time.
Mary Warren, here is your statue of Brendan Favola.
Hey, it's Taylor Swift.
Hey, it's Ed Sheeran.
Margot Robbie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jack Black.
Great to meet you.
So good to have you back on the show and to come to Brekkie in the Burbs. Jeez, Liz. You just won $100,000. You just won Fox's golden ticket.
That is the secret sauce.
We love this city. The Foxes, Fifi, Fev and Nick.
Wake up with Fifi, Fev.
Oh, Mike's alive. Hello, Fifi, Fev, good morning. Welcome to a brand new week.
Morning, Melbourne. Morning. Sorry. Oh. What a terrible way to start the show. I was just opening a box to wipe my glasses, and it's empty.
Oh, no.
So I call them glasses now. That's nice.
What was I calling them?
You were always calling them magnifiers.
Magnifiers. Well, like, spectacles.
Mate, well, they're glasses. Not. Just Mooglers. So you know, and I was at Specsavers the other day, and I was getting...
Shout out to them.
They're wonderful people at Specsavers, because I only had my eyes tested in November, but I think
Left eye.
Thank you, lazy left eye. So I've gone back to get another test. They don't get this a lot at the optometrist. I was like, I think I need stronger glasses.
Oh, do you know what they don't get wrong? When we had the lady come in here and she was a doctor and she tested your eyes and she said, you've got a lazy left. And you go, I don't think you're right.
Yeah.
Well, she's a doctor.
Michael, do your own research.
I'm pretty sure she was right.
Michael at Specsavers, he was so wonderful. He did test them again and he said, no, they haven't deteriorated. What is happening is you're just wanting to wear them more. So I am leaving them on for longer. So when I take these off, whoa, you're a tiny bit blurry, boys.
Yeah.
So that's making me feel like my eyesight's gotten worse. Caitlin, welcome to Melbourne's biggest breakfast show. We have more listeners than any other show in Melbourne, and it is a real treat to have you. Welcome to Fifi, Fev and Nick.
Well, it is absolutely my pleasure. You know, I was sitting here. I've been to Sydney a bit, and I've done a bunch of shows up in the jungle up there in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
But this is a little bit of history. Probably before you were born, I was in Melbourne. We were doing a world tour in the early 80s for a movie I did called Can't Stop the Music.
Can't Stop the Music.
I remember
probably
that.
Never heard of it, have
no,
you?
No, I have heard of that.
You know why? Because they proved you could stop the music. But that's a whole other deal. But
I was
in
the
Melbourne
people.
For the premiere. Yes. I was all over the world, but I have a great time every time I go to Australia. I love it down there.
Well, we love that. And, you know, I remember reading Caitlin years ago, and I think it was not a quote from you, but I think when you were going through, I don't know, a breakup, some life changes, you were considering moving to Australia and maybe Melbourne?
Well, first of all, I love Australia. And to be honest with you, but you guys have your issues too, because last time I was down there was during the pandemic when everything was closed and I was shooting this show. And they got special permission for me to get into the country. It was a joke. I had to get quarantined for 2 weeks in a hotel room. And, you know, your government was just like really tough and just shutting the place down.
Was that Big Brother?
And but eventually I did get to the show and got it done. Yeah.
We were all locked down in Victoria for 2.5 years. So it was a nightmare.
Now, Caitlin, exciting things in your world. You have a new podcast coming up soon, Keeping Up with Sports with Zach Hirsch and Lamar Odom. Big interviews. Are you excited about this new project?
Yes. You know what? I'm having a lot of fun with it. First of all, I just love people. You know, I love especially athletes. I think athletes are some of the more interesting characters out there. What they've been through in their life, the amount of work that they've put in to their career, it's just overwhelming. And every story is different. The first show we have is my good friend and boxing legend, Sugar Ray Leonard.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
And and Ray and I have been friends ever since. The games, because he won in 76 the same year I did. And I have a lot of fun with him. I called him up and I said, hey, you got to do my podcast. He said, oh, great, I would love to do it. No tough questions. And I said, Ray, I won't give you a tough question. And then I start the thing off by saying, you know, I won on the 29th and 30th of July in 1976. And I was getting a lot of press. And the next day was the finals in boxing. Okay, and you did your phenomenal performance, won the gold, all that. How pissed off were you that I got the Wheaties deal and you didn't? And Lamar is absolutely great. You know, obviously, Lamar and I have been friends for a very long time.
That's great.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
We can't wait to hear it. And I mean, it's funny. I'm not someone who follows basketball. I'm sitting here with two men who do. But I just remember Lamar from when his first episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. That's how I know him. And when I saw you doing the podcast with him, I thought that's great that you're still obviously got a great relationship with your former son-in-law. Did you need to run that by Chloe? Is she okay with him being on a podcast with you?
You're right. I did. I called Chloe And I said, hey, look it. I'm doing a podcast. I'm going to do it with Lamar and another guy. There's three of us that host, Zach, the other guy. And I just want you to know that I'm doing this. I don't want to just like find out in the media. And she was so happy for Lamar. That's legitimately happy.
That's great.
He says, I absolutely go for it, you know? And so we got her blessings, and then we're kind of off and running with it. Yeah.
Do you know what I love?
Yeah, we're
Caitlin,
off and running with it.
Because obviously feeling like we know you so well from your career, but also from the show and seeing what a wonderful family connection you have with all your kids. And another connection to Melbourne at the moment is your other former son-in-law, Kanye, is dating a girl from Q here in Melbourne, Bianca. Oh, we're not dating. They're married now.
Oh,
and there's all this speculation.
My God.
All this speculation about him controlling her and what she wears and all this carry-on. And her family have come out and said, no, that's not the case. You witnessed Kim and Kanye up close. Is he that controlling? Is that what could be happening? Caitlin? Hello?
It is the Fox's Fifi Fivernick, your number one breakfast show, co-hosting with us. Caitlin Jenner just hung up, we thought. Looks like it may have cut out. Back with Caitlin Jenner after this.
101.9 The Fox.
Yeah, we've always had a good relationship. Obviously, he's been through a lot of tough stuff. You know, I've seen him at his best, and sometimes I've seen him at his worst, but we always get through it. And so, you know, I wish, but for as far as my dealings with him, he's been great, you know, very accepting, very, very, very nice. I have no complaints. I wish him nothing but the best.
I love sport. I'll listen to this podcast because I'm a sports nut now. With the Olympics coming up, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, transgender women and males in sport. What are your thoughts on that? Because it's usually, you know, women, males turning trans, going into women's sport, but it's not really the other way. I've read some stuff before that you're totally against that.
I am. Yes. This subject has been around since the 60s.
Wow.
We don't think of it that way. Yeah. Little history. You're probably way too young.
Thank you.
When I competed in 1972 and 1976, all the women had to take a saliva test. They put a little swab in there, took a saliva test, and they had to check their DNA to make sure that they were XX and they were born biologically female. Why? If you remember back then in the 70s and in through the 80s, we had East Germany and the Soviet Union.
Yeah, that's right.
These women, I mean, were just cleaning up. I think now we're getting the exact same problem. Now, why was it wrong for the XYs back in the 70s to compete against the women, you know, who were born biologically men? And now all of a sudden today, you know, 50 years later, it's okay if biological men run against women. It is not fair. I have been on this bandwagon for the last 2 years, back to the Leah Thomas days. I don't know if you remember, Thomas was the swimmer in Penn and was winning NCAA titles, a biological male, on competing against the women. And it wasn't fair. It wasn't even close. Women, especially here in the United States, have worked so hard. And look how far women's sports has come, really, over the last 50 years because of Title IX here in the United States. Basically, equality in sports for women. Women's sports has just grown tremendously in our country and around the world. And why are we going to throw all of that away? Because of a couple of trans people. It's just not fair.
Right. It's so wonderful hearing you talk about this, Caitlin, because you're such a powerful voice in that realm. So it and obviously we're so looking forward to the podcast, keeping up with sports, and we follow you on Twitter. And in recent news, and one of your most recent tweets was obviously the passing of O.J. Simpson, and you were quite vocal in saying good riddance. But I know you haven't spoken about that. That's obviously no love lost there.
Yeah. No, to be honest with you, he died in my head a long time ago. Obviously, at that time, I was married to Chris, and Chris was Nicole's best friend. I was with Nicole, you know, the day before the murder. I was at her house, and, you know, I was extraordinarily close. Okay, obviously, her ex-husband, Robert Kardashian, was on, you know, OJ's team. Yeah, that was a couple of years of just utter hell. It was horrible. And, you know, we knew he did it. Everybody knew he did it, but is he going to get away with it? And Nicole, although you couldn't bring this up in the trial because it's hearsay, because nobody was there to back it up, told Chris, and Chris told me, he said, OJ said in one of his fits of rage that I'm going to kill you and get away with it because I'm OJ Simpson.
Gee. Wow.
And when the verdict came down, we were actually in Marsha Clark's office with the kind of the overflow of the family. And Chris just, when they said, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, Chris turned around to me and said, Nicole was right from the beginning. Going to kill me and get away with it because it's OJ Simpson.
Caitlin Jenner, thank you so much for joining us. Keeping up with sports. We cannot wait for your new podcast with Zach Hirsch and Lamar Odom. Okay. Thank you very much. We've loved having you on the show.
Well, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me. Say hi to everybody down there. Thank you.
See you.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
Yeah, we're going to talk about hitmen. Now, interestingly, I was only thinking, that's not a profession that the gender politics people have come for. Like, you don't hear people going, excuse me, hit women or hit people.
Yeah, don't hit women.
Don't you? No, but, you know, I think it's one I've never heard. No.
Is there a hit woman?
There's a hit person on the loose.
Oh, there would be.
No, it's a hit man. Mm.
Angelina Jolly played a hit woman. And,
Well, 1360, if you know a hit woman, like, we've not heard about hit women. There might be hit women out there. I'm bringing this up because
they get
think
you, though.
That hit men are all in Hollywood, and often some of the most realistic stories also come from Hollywood, and I'm thinking about people do drastic things. Remember Olivia Newton-John's boyfriend who just went missing
and
he turned up on a boat. Faking your death. See, death, sometimes people think you're trying to get out of situations.
Mm, yeah.
And they're obviously, desperation leads to drastic and sometimes obviously silly decisions.
Now, I've always thought that.
There's a
fake my death.
Show. Oh, I'm going to have to stop.
Would you?
What? What
just
do you mean?
Just to see who comes to your funeral. Like have all like so you can watch it to see what they say about you. And then you come up and go, ha ha, really?
So you want to fake your death so then you can watch your funeral?
Yeah. Because don't you always think who's going to go to your funeral?
No.
Has it ever crossed your mind?
Never.
Really? I think that all the time.
I don't think about anything once I'm not here. No.
Yeah. Well, obviously, because you're dead.
No, but
if you're not dead, and then you two are going, oh, thank God he's gone at the funeral, and I go, ha ha.
You know we wouldn't.
Well, you don't know.
Because if you did do it, and I'm going to talk you through your crazy scenario. So if you did do it, and you faked the death, then you saw the trauma, the tears, the heartbreak.
I'd come up and say, hey!
I think you'd actually go, oh, God, I took this too far. I actually have to go and disappear. You can't come back.
No, you come back. It'd be the funniest. But if people were bagging me in that, then I'd stay dead. I'd go,
everyone's then going to hate you.
Yeah, but they won't know. I'll go live somewhere else.
Anyway, I'm bringing this up because Breaking Bad, great show. I should watch it. I haven't caught up yet.
Gotta watch it, bro.
You've watched everything except this show.
I keep watching
first
episode again
great
and
show.
Again, and I can't
You're
get
push
into
through.
It. Now, one of the stars who plays the corrupt drug king Fring, Gus Fring. His name, the actor is called Giancarlo Esposito. And before the success of this show that started, I think it was 2008, things were so bad for him. He contacted a hitman to have him murdered.
I thought, you know, I just started scheming. If I got somebody to knock me off, death through misadventure, they would get the insurance. I had four kids. I wanted them to have a life. Like, it was a hard moment in time. I literally thought of self-annihilation so that they could survive.
Isn't that, that's Jesus. An incredible yeah. thing to admit, that you were reaching out for somebody to do that.
Wonder what
and
it costs.
Often at the moment, well, I can even think of local stories. You know, sometimes you read in the news, and they're usually dumb criminals because they meet someone at a pub and they go, will you kill my husband?
Yeah.
And then they go straight to the police. So, but we are going to ask this question on 131060, and it will require, I mean, let's be honest, I don't think we'll get one caller, and that's the goal, guys. If we get one caller, we'll consider this a success.
One question.
Are you in labour right now?
Are you a billionaire?
Have you ever fought a bear?
Are you Amish?
Do you have a panic room?
Were you in an exorcism?
Have you married an object?
Have you died?
All we need is one caller.
You're not going to ask for a hitman to call in, are you?
Have you hired a hitman?
Jesus.
Wow. Are you a hitman? Or woman? Let's be. We want to keep this. No, it's not gender specific. No. A hit person.
I don't reckon any hitmen are ringing up saying I'm a hitman.
We've got a voice disguiser.
Oh, yeah, we can use that.
$1,000. Every caller on the show gets $1,000. Oh, that doesn't feel good. Oh,
I reckon,
hang on.
I reckon they get more than that.
Yeah, we're paying a hitman.
All we need is one.
Oh, no.
Why is there a red dot on your head again?
It's not what it seems, I promise.
1360 falls off his seat.
Calls after this at the Fox. We just need.
You could probably get a little light through here, one of the windows from a building.
What are you doing? Why would you even say that?
Well, you can.
But why would you?
Because you just said you're going to pay a hitman.
Leon,
to ring
shut
up.
The blinds, please.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
One question.
Are you in labour right now?
Are you a billionaire?
Have you ever fought a bear?
Are you Amish?
Do you have a panic room?
Were you in an exorcism?
Have you married an object?
Have you died?
All we need is one caller.
Okay, we've asked a question. I regret already. And we brought this up because actor from Breaking Bad, if you know the show, Gus Fring, the actor Giancarlo Esposito has come out and said that before he got the role in Breaking Bad, things were so bad and tough for his family that he had contacted a hitman to take him out so his family could get the insurance. Like, I think of that as Hollywood. Mm. Okay, California. Like, that maybe, because I've watched, a lot of Quentin Tarantino movies. I know they've got hitmen around there, but...
Easy gig for the hitman,
though. We then said, there'd be no hitmen in Melbourne. And then we've opened the phone lines. The meltdown is insane. And the number of people who have called through. Also, we are giving $1,000 to every caller on the show today. So... I'm now worried that if we actually have a hitman that we're about to speak to, we're then paying them $1,000, which in court to the senior constable when he's interviewing us does not look good.
Well, only one of us get killed today.
No, but somebody else does and they'll go, anyway, let's forget all of that because
we got more!
We've already said we've got hundreds, but we'll start with Matt in Pakenham. Hi, Matt.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good, we're great. Right. Maddie, what is happening in Pakenham? We're there on Friday.
Well, I actually am not a hitman, unfortunately, so sorry I can't juice it up too much for you.
We're rapt to hear that, yeah. Matt.
But FIFA feel it a bit more because I was dating a girl. I'm 38 now, but when I was 21, I was dating a girl from your trap. So she went to Tintern and she was in Wonga Park.
That's where I lived.
Is it?
And the school I went to.
Well, so this puts a whole new spin on mother-in-laws for blokes out there. But so she come from a good wealthy family, good to do, private school, and I was from the other end of the track.
Was her name Pearl?
And it wasn't Pearl.
Unless you're Matt Stone.
Wasn't, unfortunately, no. But this lady was a real twisted unit. So she'd done everything to try and stop us being together, right? She'd pretended to have cancer. She hired a private investigator on me and all sorts of things to try and stop me being with her daughter.
Yeah.
And she lived at home, and one day she had an argument with her mother, and in that argument, she turned around and said, "Why don't you tell Matt how you tried to get a hitman to take him out?" And
what?
I was just like, "What?" So she had a family friend who worked in the Vic Market, of all places, in the fruit market there.
Get your bananas.
And she had considered getting a hitman to take me out so that I couldn't be with her daughter.
Wow, Matt!
You dodged a bullet.
Yeah, it's pretty daunting when you think about it.
That's, so what stopped it from happening? Because obviously she'd thought about it and then you were still with her daughter.
Yeah, well, it's funny enough. We went on to be together for 10 years, have two kids. So it was kind of lucky, I guess.
What?
But yeah, it could have gone a different way. But I don't know. I think she just realised that after that blew up, that her daughter wasn't going to stop seeing me. She moved out at that point and we moved in together. But
so like Christmases, was... you've got kids and you're there, like you're sitting there eating your turkey across the road, across the table from your mother-in-law. Did
yeah,
you mention it again?
No, I never brought it up again, but
what?
We did have a funny relationship. But yeah, it was weird. In the end, she loved me. She thought I was the bee's knees. But in the early stages.
That's a recovery, Matt. What a recovery. Oh,
yeah. Some turnaround there,
Matt. That's unbelievable.
I was lucky. But it's, you know, it's daunting now. You think about it. I'm like, you have no idea. You could be dating someone and their parent doesn't like you. And next thing you know, one day you just...
Brown bread.
You popped. Like,
that's
see you later, mate.
Matt.
Hey, there's $1,000.
Yeah, Matt, if it makes you feel better, $1,000.
Wow.
Awesome, guys. Thanks.
See you Friday.
Yeah, we'll be down in Pakenham on Friday. We'll come and see you there. I nearly said Packy, but I get nervous saying that again.
No worries. You do say Packy. Everyone says Packy.
I do say that. But
who
then
when
we had Dill Rorkin, our good friend of the show, he did highlight it was an interesting term, but I thought it was okay.
You thought you were talking to him.
Hey, we're going to be at the Cardinia Cultural Centre, Pakenham, 6 a.m. Friday.
Get down there.
Thank you, Matt. Oh, now we have someone who wants to remain anonymous on a voice disguiser, which is very understandable. Hello, Anonymous.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good. Good, Anonymous. Are you a hitman? I'm quite nervous to ask that question. Do you know one?
No, so I'm not a hitman, but I was with an ex-partner for a number of years, and it was always a bit of a rocky sort of relationship. And then towards the end, I found out through like a friend of a friend that she was actually in discussion with and in the process of hiring someone to knock me off.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a bit rough. It was a bit sort of scary on my part with it all, just with where it was at.
How did it resolve itself? Like, obviously, so you got wind of it, but how did you make it go away?
I got wind of it. I obviously went to the police and I removed myself from everywhere that I was known to be around, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I just completely removed myself for about a month and a half while everything was sort of going on. Didn't speak to any family, friends, no one. I was just completely isolated.
Anonymous, how did it get to that point, though, that she's hiring a hitman? Like, what was going on?
Well, it was always, as I said, it was always a bit of a rocky sort of relationship. But I think to get to that point, I just pretty much decided that I didn't want to be with her anymore. And I think that was honestly just her way of trying to cope with it all.
Some people don't take that well. You've met one of those, can you say this, unstable people? Like,
yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yes.
You never know. Until you break up with them, you're not sure what kind of person they are.
Have you seen her since?
No, I haven't seen her. Don't know where she is. Nothing. I've just completely removed myself from everything.
Are you still nervous? Yeah. Do you still like get nervous every now and then?
Sure.
Like every time you turn the car on, do you go, oh,
well, it's not the start of Casino.
Way too many movies.
Yeah, I know. It's not De Niro.
Blow up.
No, I don't know anyone from pretty much that life anymore, just because I wasn't sure what was going on, so I just completely removed myself from absolutely everything.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you for sharing that, Anonymous. You got yourself $1,000, every caller on the show, $1,000, so $1,000 for you.
Everyone's going to be so nervous starting their car today after that.
It's true. Now we have another Anonymous. It's our second Anonymous caller on a voice disguiser. Hello, Anonymous 2.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Nerve-wracking.
Oh, I know. Well, you know what? Honestly, only share it if you're comfortable sharing it. Is it a story about a hitman? Are you a hit person?
No, it's not me, but my mom did hire a hitman.
What?
For my dad. He was a really horrible person when I was younger. And I came to know this only after I was married. So, yeah.
Whoa. So when you say your mum hired a hitman to take out your dad, what happened? What did it,
look,
did he, she go through with it?
Yeah, it went through. I don't want to go to the details. He's just a really, really horrible man. And I guess back then my mom thought the only way to get out of this situation was through that. So, yeah. And I didn't know about it. I was 16 back then. And I only came to find out after I was, like, married a couple of years ago. And I was talking to her about some issues in my marriage.
Oh, no.
And then it came out. Yeah.
So your mom kept you sheltered from what was going on. So you guys didn't know. But then she hired a hitman and got your dad killed.
Yes. I mean, look, my mom has passed now, but so yeah.
And obviously, I mean, I completely understand you don't want to go into details or obviously be recognised, and it's very easy to Google news stories, but was it something that played out in, was she arrested and did it come out that she'd done that, or was that a family secret?
It was a family secret.
Oh, wow. That is a lot for you to carry.
Did it happen here in Australia?
I don't want to lose.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot. Yeah. Do you talk to people about this, or is this something you're sharing? Obviously, you're anonymous and no one knows who you are when you're speaking to us, but do you get counseling? Do you talk about this?
Actually, this is probably the second time I've spoken about it.
Oh, wow. Well, that is so brave. And I have to be honest, did not expect this.
No.
We didn't expect it to go down this path, and we're very appreciative of your call. Thank you, Anonymous.
$1,000.
$1,000.
You get $1,000. Every caller on the show today gets $1,000. But just second to that, I would say, and, you know, maybe reach out to somebody. I just feel I need to be responsible here and say that's a lot for you to carry. That's a big burden. And I would suggest maybe getting some counselling or talking to somebody about it. Really brave of you to talk to us about it, though. Thank you for calling.
No worries. Thank you, guys.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Our producers will talk to her and connect her with someone.
Yeah, can you make sure she's okay?
Absolutely. We have a service we can connect her with.
I feel bad I couldn't even say her name, but obviously I wanted to stay anonymous. That is it. That imagine living with that burden.
I wonder how much it cost. I wanted to ask that, but I thought it might have been a bit insensitive.
I think it would have been.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
I'll give it to you. There's normally Fee's job. Well, on Alpha Bucks on Tuesday, the 30th of April, the letter will be S, Nicholas. And I'm going to give you the question and see if you can answer it. A Simpsons character.
Sideshow Bob.
Bang! Yeah.
Who else is it?
Seymour Skinner. Sideshow Mel.
Selma.
101.9. The Fox.
We have a problem with our kids, Melbourne. Kids are becoming a problem. This is a thing.
Tell them off.
Behavioural changes in children over the last few decades, for teachers particularly, and then maybe there's teachers listening who can relate to this. Kids are playing up, acting up, and they can't control them. Victoria, they are looking to introduce old school discipline in classrooms. Yes.
Capital punishment.
Well, no, see, this is the thing. Corporal. We think old school is
capital's what killing.
The chair.
Our parents, like I feel like our parents talked about getting the strap and
all the time. Yeah.
But so now they're wait for it. They're going to teach kids how to enter the classroom quietly, how to sit. In fact, the kids don't know how to sit. Just quietly sit is amazing to me. And how to listen properly. So they're going to learn how to line up. Apparently they don't know how to line up anymore. Like literally don't know how to stand in a line and queue and keep quiet. So it's a behavioural crisis, teachers are saying, and now the government are getting involved and they're going to implement these changes.
It's because kids think they're entitled. They think they're on the same level as us. Because of all YouTube, the way they are on iPads. Like I speak to my 14-year-old and she's like, you can't speak to me like that. I go, what are you talking about? Do the dishes. I'll get you cancelled. So what? No, this is what happens. This is what kids do. They think they're at the same level as us and we can't speak to them in any other way other than, oh, what do you want for dinner? That's all.
So maybe they need to understand what we went through as kids. And I'm talking, you know, kids from the 80s, 90s, even earlier.
You're old.
Yeah, I know, but see, because there are things it even blows my mind hearing what parents or teachers got away with. It's kind of the stuff that you can't do now. Like, and I think I've said this to you before, I remember when I was in prep and grade one, so we're talking, I think, mid-80s here, we, at my school, we'd have underpant checks. So You had to have the right underpants on. So we had school uniforms. It doesn't matter.
Was it sus high by any chance?
Summer uniform. Yeah, had to have white.
It's going to be on four corners.
Hey, Fiona, come over and let me look at your knickers.
You had to have white undies in summer and winter navy blue.
What does
and
it
I'm
matter
not
for?
Kidding. We would have to lift up our skirts, and if you had flowers or pink ones, you got into trouble. Like
that's insane.
I know, but this is what I mean. How's you can't that not... do that now.
We should do checks. Well, that's here.
Yeah. There's a middle ground between. There's a middle ground between letting kids do whatever they want and show us your knickers. You know,
there is a line
in the middle that I think people are trying to get to. I remember in year 12, a mate of mine farted in class and the teacher just slapped
mate,
him.
The best.
That was 2004.
Mate, that's the best. Yeah.
She was walking past my mate and he farted and she just went, nah. Just
see, I remember
him.
A great story that involves a former Carlton great. My brothers went to Yarra Valley, an Anglican school out in Ringwood.
Yeah.
And
Fraser Brown
went there. And
that.
Everyone knew the story about when Fraser Brown was in about year 10 or 11. He got told off and he picked up the teacher and threw her out the window. That's folklore at Yarra Valley.
Fraser's a great man. One of the great men.
He threw the teacher
out the window.
He's crazy. Hey, I used to get strapped. I used to get this like leather.
At school?
Yeah, no. This is at home.
Oh, yeah.
I used to get strapped. Like
Kazza or Ange?
Kazza. It was like a rubber purple little number. And then when I got old enough, I found it. And then that could never happen again. But I used to get hit with that. And I tell my kids when they're in, like, when they've been naughty, mate, I used to get the strap. Do you want the strap? And they go, well, look how you turned out, Dad. Strapping didn't really work, did it? I go, what do you mean? They go, well, you went to rehab. You lost your footy career. I'm like, well, you win. I'll do the dishes.
They have made some solid points.
What about Darcy? Had a friend whose parents had an interesting way of feeding them.
Yeah, so my friend was telling me she used to have an apple tied around her neck so that if she wanted a snack, she'd be self-sufficient, so she wasn't allowed to go and ask her parents for a snack.
So that'd be sad.
Tying an apple around a child's neck so they don't. Now, you know, it's funny, like we're laughing at that. I'm in this place at the moment in my life because Daisy at four, I'm not kidding, she's asking me something all the time. Mummy, can I have water? Mummy, can I have some
snacks?
Mummy, can I have this? And I'm starting to go, honey, you can do some of that yourself. But if you have a kid asking you for a snack every 10 minutes, I kind of understand the apple around
Can you please put an apple around her neck and a drink bottle around her shoulder?
131060, the phones are melting down. You can't do that now. What are some stories from your yoldy days at school or at home?
Get involved this morning.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
We're talking old school punishments, things that you cannot get away with now, because I think this is great news for teachers, and we love our teachers here in Victoria. You do a great job. But kids are getting harder to control, and there are behavioural issues. They're calling it a crisis, actually, that teachers are routinely abused and classes are constantly disrupted by children, and they don't know how to wrangle them because
gets sugar and watch iPads all day and then sent into a room and teachers are like, how are we dealing with this?
Well, I've got a friend who's a teacher too, and what she has said to me is now parents complain and they get like there was a time when, you know, yes, parents had a say, but not the way they do now. Like you can't ask a child to do, can you please pick up your books off the ground? Next minute, the mum's calling. You told my kid to tidy up. You're not allowed to.
I remember after parent-teacher interviews in year 10 the next day, my maths teacher walked in and said, Cody Novak, because our Nick Novak, Nick Cody, just went, Cody Novak, Cody's dad said I can bang your heads together if you cause mischief. Don't F about. All right, sir. No worries.
Well done, Jeff.
Headbutt my son.
So anyway.
Would have hurt his head.
The government are suggesting that some old school discipline is going to get taught in classrooms. Kids are going to be quiet. They're going to listen to teachers. I don't know how they're going to implement it. But we thought let's head down memory lane. Mary in Mont Albert. Hi, Mary.
Yeah, hi. Hi, guys.
Morning.
Hi, Mary. Hey, quickly, just off the bat, Mary, $1,000 you just won because every caller on the show today just gets $1,000.
That is the best way to start a week. Thank you.
That's our pleasure. Now, obviously, you went through something when you were a kid that you deserve that grand now.
Well, look, I'm not even certain it was legal back then. I don't know. But 1983, when I was in year six, every day after lunch, we'd have to line up outside the classroom and the teacher would stand there with a roll of masking tape and masking tape all of our mouths, the whole class. We'd file on in and only when you were like good and sitting there quietly would she come around and remove it. And that was every day. That can't be legal.
No, it can't be. But also something's happened to that teacher where she's so fed up, not even giving you a chance to speak.
Yeah, it was odd. You know what? It didn't even occur to me that that was odd. But, I mean, said that, she dressed as Boy George the whole year and made us listen to, like, Culture Club pretty much every day. So Mary, I think there was something weird going on.
Yeah, Mary, I figured it out. She lost her mind.
I wouldn't have been able to speak in any class because I would have stayed. I wouldn't have been able to get the tape off my mouth.
Do you know what, Mary? It's funny you say that.
Stuck with it the whole time.
Because not only did we have the undie checks, I've just got another memory. Oh, have I ever told you about this too?
Mate, hope it wasn't a bra check. Yeah. I don't know where you're going, mate.
It's good that memories are just coming back after you've pushed them down for lots of years. I'm sure this will be fine.
I don't know what it is. I don't think it is. So our prep and year one teacher would read to us in the afternoon, but she would get us down the front to like tickle her legs, like give her like a leg massage. And then she'd nod off while we were just like delicately scratching her legs.
I remember that. I remember as kids, the girls used to always massage the female teacher when she was reading. They used to always massage her and play with her hair and stuff.
She'd just fall asleep because it was so relaxing to have little 5-year-olds just stroke your legs.
Literally.
Your stories are getting worse and worse. These are terrifying.
No, that happened at my school. I remember the teachers used to do that.
Yeah.
I've told my son, if any adult asks you to touch him, punch him in the throat. Like, do not touch
it's
anyone.
It's not quite right.
They are sus.
Jesse in Lang Warren. Hi, Jess.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, good, Jess. Some old school parenting that you or teaching that you can't get away with now?
So when I was quite young, really, really young, my mum hit me with the wooden spoon once. And so I took that wooden spoon and hid it in my toy box. And over time, the wooden spoons just kept going missing and going missing. And mum was just like, she couldn't understand what was going on. She was cleaning out my toy box one time and she found them all. And she whacked me with every single one.
Jesse, do you know what? I actually think you were brave to hide the wooden spoons because I just think then she'd go to the steel ones. Wouldn't you like want the wooden ones opposed to if she just went and grabbed the big like silver one and whacked you with it?
Yeah, look, I'm surprised. Like, mum was a bit full on in my younger days. In her old age, she calmed down. But she was.
Jesse, you just won $1,000 for going through that. We're sort of becoming more compo. Like, we're compensating people.
This is compensation.
That happened to them. Yeah.
Lucky my mum won't hear this, so she doesn't need a card, so it's fine.
Call up the show, read out your victim impact statement, and we'll give you a grand.
thanks, Jez. Emma from Carrum Downs. Hi, Emma.
Hello.
Emma, what were you put through by your parent or your teacher?
So my mum used to punish us if we used too much water. So in like brushing our teeth, if we left the running water, she would allocate us a cup of water the next day. And that would be for brushing our teeth, washing our hands and drinking.
You had like allocations of water. Was it during the drought? I know we've had a few droughts. Happened? When was that?
Well, was single mum and she just was a tight ass.
Well, guess what, Em? Give your mum a call and go, you just won $1,000.
Yay, thank you so much.
For sharing her dirty laundry.
101.9 The Fox.
Now, something came out at my birthday party yesterday at the beautiful Union Hotel in Ascot Barwell. A few beers. What's that? No, I didn't spew feed. But
I wasn't alluding to that.
Some of the team were there. One of them was our producer, James Blake. JB.
The keeper.
He wasn't in the keeper Ray-Ban, so he was just regular.
Did you get any clues?
James Blake yesterday. No. And he had a fair few pints of Guinness too. I was hoping for some slip up.
Can I ask an honest question?
Yes.
Did anyone know who he was?
Yeah.
Just your friends? Yes. Or did anyone come up to him and go, are you James Blake from Fox? Like from Fifi Fever Nick? Does he have any traction out there?
Well,
Brad from the project recognised me.
There we go.
Yeah, Brad's, nice. Brad's a lovely guy.
Yep. A couple of my mates knew him.
Pretended to know you.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But he made an announcement yesterday. The place erupted. He said that James Blake at the tender age of 27?
Yep, month off 28.
Is finally moving out of home.
What? James! Where are you moving? By yourself?
No, me and the lovely Lucy are moving out. But
so one small problem, yeah, though, isn't there, JB?
So Leah and David, my parents, they don't know yet.
So you haven't told them?
No. In fact, I didn't.
You're
really
acting like they'd be disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, you're
28.
Weirdly enough, Melissa Leong from MasterChef now knows before my parents, which is odd.
That's so funny.
Are you moving into her joint, or are you going to get a place?
We're hunting around. We're going to find a place, find a pad.
Might have to call up
Lucy
and get on air.
Lucy just found a pad, didn't she? She's moved into
my 2-year-old
a nice
Max
place.
Was very impressed. He said, good job. Thumbs up.
Leon.
Can we? Should we call Leah or David right now?
Yeah, can we tell your parents now?
Well, they might be listening.
Yeah, no, you can give them a crack.
Will they be up?
What was that?
Will they be up?
Yeah, they're early risers.
Who do you want us to call? We get them both on?
Are you going to try and get, like, what sort of bedroom are you going to try and get? Are you going to go for kids as well, or what are you going to do?
This was the terrifying thing. I didn't make the announcement. Lucy was just giving life updates to everyone.
Yeah.
And then I've come back from the toilet and Costa's holding his newborn son and looked at me with a massive smile and said, congratulations. And I've just turned to Lucy, what's going on? And just had to go through the Rolodex in my head of what big announcement is there. So, yeah.
So this is now you're renting. Are you going to do first home owners? You're going to try and get into the housing market?
I don't know. Can't do first home. Okay. Oh, God.
Hey, JB, a quick tip. When I first got my place, remember when I first started the show, I put Fifi Box and Brendan Favola as my references, got the house in an instant.
Really?
In an instant, yeah.
Phone number 131060.
I think it was the reception number here at the Fox. It worked.
Are you going to put us down as references, JB?
What happened?
What happened with the parents?
Sorry, Leah, James' mum, very bluntly said, I'm too busy. I've got to have a shower and go to work.
That's the best. What about David?
Yeah, you can try, David.
Let's try your dad.
If mum's busy, David's going to be very, very busy.
We just got passed off by your mum just brushed us off. That's amazing.
She does. She is busy. She's going to work this morning.
Are
and she's a teacher.
I get
she's
that.
Got to get
I
to
get
school.
That. But Leon,
what time did she get to school?
Leon, did you say it was a big life announcement? Like,
yes, I did. Wasn't interested.
I don't think she can.
Oh, David's just a voicemail.
Oh, no.
Mate, I think you could just move out.
I don't think they can.
I don't reckon they'll know that you're not there.
Melbourne's number one breakfast show. It's the Foxes, Fifi, Fev and Nick. Wake up with Fifi, Fev and Nick. On the Fox.